Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, that's fun.
Amen.
They got the spirit there. Amen.
All right. Welcome back to Living Arts on KPFT. This is Tish, and today we are blessed to be in the studio with Bill Talen, a New York City performance activist, better known to the world as Reverend Billy, and Sister Savitri from the Church of Stop Shopping. Tales of his evangelical retail interventions at Starbucks, the Disney Store, and Times Square, and more recently, the First Amendment mob reclaiming space and liberty at Ground Zero have captivated onlookers and contributed creative direct action tactics to a broader, globally connected movement fighting against corporate globalization. Reverend Billy and the Church of Stop Shopping are going to perform tonight an interactive planned sermon at the First Unitarian Church at 8 p.m. But first, we are lucky to have him and Sister Savitri as guests on Living Arts this morning. Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Sister Thank Tish, bio-arms! Bio-arms! Captivating!
Hallelujah. Amen. Got to live up to this now, sister.
There you go. Well, to do that, why don't you tell our listening audience about some of the Church of Stop Shopping's corporate interventions. Let's give them a sense of one of them. We could talk about a campaign. How about, like, Starbucks? What kind of things have you done inside Starbucks stores?
Oh, shall we give an example, Sister Savitri?
Oh, yes, please do.
Okay, so now we're lovers now in a Starbucks, all right? And we pretend we're customers. We just go into that Starbucks, right?
Honey, could you just make up your mind, please? Because we've been here now 6 or 7 minutes, and you just...
I just want to say how much I love you. I love you. I love you
so much. I
just want to
get the coffee and go,
honey.
Okay?
I guess we're in a Starbucks. Is that all right? Maybe I should have said this at home, but I love you so much, dear. I want to elope. I want to marry you.
Order now? I mean, I'm getting a little impatient.
I love you, brought to you by your local Coca-Cola bottler.
I don't know what you mean by that. I thought you loved me for me.
Oh, honey, I love you, brought to you by Polo Deckwear.
I thought it was my soul and my incredible heart and my mind.
Well, it is, but I've climbed that hill and I've seen the valley beyond. I love you, brought to you by Nike Sportswear.
That doesn't make me feel any better. I can't believe you actually have to have a sponsor to love me. And what's happened to your emotional life?
Honey,
you're so corrupt.
Honey, please keep it down. We're in a
you're
Starbucks.
So corrupt.
Please, be.
I want to be with someone who
no,
loves
listen,
me
don't
from
raise your
me.
Voice. We're
not
in a
just
Starbucks
because someone's
staple
paying
line.
You to
I
love me.
I have climbed the hill. I've seen the valley. It's hard work. It's hard work. I love you. I want to marry you. Brought to you by Halliburton.
You've gone over the edge. You're on the other side
now. I love you. Brought to you by Bechtel. I love you. Brought to you by the Pentagon.
So we go in and we do that. It rises
to
this level.
I love you. Brought to you by George Bush.
You see, he's sponsored. That's sponsored love. We see it everywhere now. Sponsored love.
Okay, so we've seen, you know, this is a beautiful
people selling
example,
their emotions.
You know, and it seems, you know, pretty innocent. Two lovers talking in the Starbucks, but Starbucks doesn't think this is funny, do they?
No. they've discovered that the people who perform our little bits of which this is sponsored love is one example.
Cell phone operas
and what we call spat theater. So many of them involve arguments, it seems like. We've discovered that if you go into the middle of a Starbucks as customers, but somewhere as your voices rise in your heightened conversation, in which hopefully you're sharing information about child mortality rates in Guatemala, genetically altered milk, union busting. I mean, they're a criminal enterprise, basically. But as your voice rises, if you share with the person you're talking to that you're married,
they leave you alone.
Honey, since we've been married, you've been, you know, if you just slide that in there, people back away.
They just want to pretend it's not happening. They're embarrassed, and they're a little worried, and as long as he doesn't lift his hand, then they're going to let it go on
just
a little bit longer.
You guys,
get it together, you know.
But the Bass Brothers biosphere is around you. You're in the valley beyond at that point. So, We've been banned from all the Starbucks in the state of California.
And the known universe.
Just you or the whole Church of Stop Shopping?
Well, it's just me at this point, but now people are starting to show solidarity with us. They're wearing the white jacket and the collar, and they're going into Starbuckses around the world right now.
How do you ban somebody? We're getting from wonderful Starbucks.
Videotapes of people going in and preaching on their own. Well, they went to the Los Angeles Superior Court and got a ban, and they used one of these forms from when you're trying to save your life from a ex-husband, you know, or an ex-boyfriend. It's a cease and desist order. I'm not supposed to sexually harass computerized cash registers of the Starbucks company.
The victim Starbucks.
They have taken personhood over the top. But some of my friends from Burning Man were saying, 250 yards. So they have this crane, you know, and they were going to hover me 2.5 football fields above a Starbucks. And then I just pass out information about
that. Well, I mean, the hilarious thing about it is that there are 1,500 Starbucks in California today. I mean, tomorrow there's probably 1,600.
I know, probably as we speak.
What it means, essentially, is that Billy can't go to California. In fact, he can't even land at the airport.
I have a court appearance in 2 weeks in front of the judge who banned me from Starbucks. But how do I land in Los Angeles to get to the court appearance?
He has to break the law to go to court.
They've also purchased Seattle's Best now, so you know, I don't know. What do? You parachute into a field in back of Burbank and walk backwards toward the...
You have to take a canoe up the irrigation ditches.
Hallelujah, we'll find a way to get into court. Find a way!
So, you know, Starbucks, you've got Starbucks as sort of a target of your evangelical actions and your cash register exorcisms. Is it really Starbucks, or are they a symptom of some larger disease in America?
Well, they are a symptom of a larger disease, but they're so wonderfully emblematic of that disease. They see no problem, no contradiction with having three or four face each other at Astor Place in New York. We have three of them facing each other at the same intersection.
We have two that face each other.
Oh, you do?
West Gray and Shepherd.
Will you take me there?
Oh, I'd love to.
Hallelujah. I'd love to preach in both of them and then sort of in between and try to feel that schizophrenia.
You're allowed
I've climbed that hill and it's hard work. And I saw nothing but Starbucks and chain stores in the valley beyond. And I saw iRobot. I saw Republicans, extras from Dawn of the Dead. They're at peace, child. They've achieved peace. Amen. Praise be. Hallelujah.
You're listening to Reverend Billy Tallon, and he's going to be at the First Unitarian Church tonight.
Here.
I was recently up in New York City during the Republican National Convention.
Oh, were you at the RNC?
Yeah.
Amen.
And I had this great experience. I was up at 28th and Broadway. There was a die-in going on.
Right.
The 31st Tuesday. And
Madison Square Park?
No, 28th and Broadway.
28th and Broadway.
It was just an intersection. And there was a bunch of people.
In the street.
There was a bunch of people clustered on the corners observing the arrest of a bunch of people who had been doing this die-in. And this woman came up in the middle of it and started a call and response kind of thing, reading out loud the First Amendment.
Hallelujah.
It was a really powerful experience for all of us. We were standing there and participating in it, and you know, while we're watching all these people be arrested and handcuffed and put in, we're sort of, as she was starting with, "Yo, NYPD, listen up," right? And we're talking to the police and reciting the First Amendment over and over. And as we tried to leave, they put the orange plastic netting around, you know, to try to block off the people who had been supporting this on the intersections. And as we got up to the line of police, we said, you know, we want to leave. We want to walk out. And they let us. And the person I was with at the time said he really felt like the reciting of the First Amendment had worked
Absolutely.
This magic on the minds of the NYPD. And I know you and the other people I was with in the group reported feeling like this had been a really powerful and magical sort of experience.
Wonderful.
And I know you guys have been going around reading the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell the listeners about this campaign or why the First Amendment?
Sister Salvatry?
Well, if you listen to the words, and we'll say it for you right now. Congress
shall make no law.
Respecting an establishment of religion
or prohibiting the free exercise thereof,
or abridging the freedom of speech,
or of the press,
or the right of the people peaceably to assemble,
and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amen.
These are unassailable words. They just hold up no matter where you are.
Irreducible.
No matter what you're doing.
Magical.
And we've been going down to Ground Zero there, to the holy pit of 9/11. They've built a transit station down there. We go down there on Tuesday evenings and we recite the First Amendment with the safety of our cell phones. So we're we're consumers. No one's going to bother us for a little while. We've got that gesture.
So please follow us around, but we keep talking in our cell phones.
We're amidst this wave of commuters going to and from work, talking about feeding the dog and picking up the kids and this and that, and we're saying Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You pick up little pieces of it. It kind of floats through the air. It's very beautiful. And then we join together and say it in unison, louder and louder and louder, and sometimes we say it very, very quietly. And that's the First Amendment mob, and we've been doing it now 35 weeks, I think, every Tuesday evening. And it has been a powerful experience for all of us. I think the value of saying the First Amendment yourself is you begin to believe it, and it actually begins to make real sense to you. It's not just an abstract idea from the history books. It's something that's real in your body. I had a very similar experience with a policeman this summer. He was really seconds from arresting me. He had his hand on my arm. He had his handcuffs out. And I just looked him in the eye, and I kept saying the First Amendment. And the third or fourth time I said it, he just backed away. And it was really a remarkable experience because it wasn't confrontational. I wasn't in the least bit angry. I was quite sure that if he wanted to arrest me for saying this, well, okay, arrest me, you know. And it makes you fearless in a really positive way, not in an angry, violent way, but just in a resolute way. So
amen. And of course, that's once again the Starbucks issue, the train station that takes the stockbrokers from Wall Street to the train that goes under the East River to under the Hudson River to New Jersey. That train station is sort of like a big football field long warehouse that hovers out over the Ground Zero pit, and it is they're constantly trying to persuade us that it's private property. They say, this is private property, you can't be here. So we ask them, well, who owns the private property? And why don't I have First Amendment rights on it here, even if it is private property? They say, well, it's owned by the Port Authority. Well, who's the Port Authority? The Port Authority is the taxpayers of New Jersey in cooperation with the taxpayers of New York. But apparently, because this new entity, the Port Authority, can issue bonds and raise money in some ways that resemble corporations, they are able to say that it's a private company. So it's the privatization of public space. It's another version of what Starbucks does. Starbucks buys everything in sight, or the super malls come in and they buy everything in sight until you literally have no place to really be with another citizen and have a social conscience. And maybe shout a little bit. And maybe march around a little bit, like the First Amendment calls for. Suddenly, wherever you do that, you're on private property. Ultimately, the courts will back us up. You know, just as they did, you know, with Brown versus the Board of Education in 1954. Ultimately, they say, you know, separation is lack of equality. You can't separate and say you're equal. Ultimately, they say, well, no, if you buy all the village commonses everywhere and there's no commonses left, that means that there must be public property somewhere. As citizens, if you buy the whole globe and call it a mall and call it George Bush Mall, ultimately, we as citizens in this country, this nation state, in this country with its rights, we have to be able to speak up in our own way, with our own beliefs, somewhere. So we're a little ahead of the courts. The courts will follow us, though. But this has always been the way. The First Amendment is always, always surviving by people putting their bodies on the line.
Trespassing.
Trespassing is always the issue.
Right. It's the
always
heart of the social
issue.
Change.
We have to go to jail, and when we go to jail, we go to jail shouting. When we get out of jail, we get out of jail shouting.
Right.
And our lawyers repeat it in their legalese. But ultimately, the First Amendment is kept current by people willing to be politically public. Amen.
All right, well, let's talk about...
Praise be. Whoa. hallelujah. Congress shall make no law.
Well, let's talk about, praise, you know, be. You're acting on this historical process that you're talking about of people reclaiming public space. A lot of the work you've been doing has been about reclaiming what is public in public space. So in that, like, why is evangelicalism, like, a good direct action tactic to address this kind of taking over of our lives with consumer-driven capitalism? Why the role of the church of Stop Shopping and evangelicalism?
The right wing, they have for years declared that they own certain American iconic characters. And last night in that debate, we saw George Bush constantly saying, wait a minute, I am the president, and I know what a president does. I am the president. You can't be the president. I'm playing this role. I know it's hard work. I know how to talk. I know this role. The teleprompter's telling me what to say. I am the president. And Kerry was presented as an interloper. It's like this lefty guy or something from Boston. You know, he's got this, like, billionaire Jewish wife, and he's got this weird accent, and who is this guy? And he says he went to war. Well, no, he shot himself in the ass. That's how he got that Purple Heart. You know, they just consider him illegitimate. You know, he doesn't have the role. And Rush Limbaugh's been doing that with the feminists. He calls them feminazis. I mean, they've been stealing characters and saying, no, this is the American version of this character. It's the only one that's legitimate. Well, central to their whole idea is that they own God, and that Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and the rest of them are the preachers. They own God, and they tell you through their born-again experience and their fundamentalists, I have the answer, and here in my head I have the inerrant word of God. You can't possibly be right. You can't even be in this conversation with me. You're going to hell. And that's their basic M.O. I say, go and take the heart of George Bush's support. Take that iconic figure. Take that televangelist. Take that Jimmy Swaggart out there at 4 a.m., you know, jerking off with a working girl underneath a billboard that says, you are doomed, Jimmy. You know, take that character. Take that character. And have progressive text come out of that character's mouth. We've got to be a lot tougher on these people than we have been so far. Mm-hmm. I'm all with Michael Moore. I'm all with Eve Ensler and her talking vagina. I'm all, you know, we have got to do amazing things. I'm with Morgan Spurlock eating Big Macs for a month and almost dying. You know, we have to do some amazing things with our bodies right now. Mm-hmm. We have to commit ourselves in a new way. As far as I can tell, you know, it's all about ACT UP. I mean, I take my cues from ACT UP. I lived in San Francisco in those years. And I took you know, it's not exactly Gandhi-esque. It's not exactly Dr. King. It's willing to play with, like when we were in L.A. and I did that one cash register exorcism. That's why I'm in trouble with the law out there right now. And you know, this sort of ex-Marine grabbed me by the waist and I like kind of ripped my hand across the, and I ripped that spit guard that's over the top of the mermaid's cash register, and now they're taking me to court. You know, we have to do more, because they won't let us draw the line. The transnationals are amorphous. They're just in the air. They're fog. There's no Berlin Wall to tear down. There's no winter steps to march up. You know, there's no front of the bus. There's no place. You have to be like ACT UP. You have to take the ashes of the people who died of AIDS and, you know, throw them all over the steps of the health department.
It's also important to recognize consumerism.
Praise be. I'm sorry. Am I spitting on you? Praise be. Brother Michael.
Holy water.
Amen.
It's important to recognize that consumerism is a fundamentalist religion in our country now, and it is spreading like an evangelical fire across the world. So to use the language of religion in association with consumerism and capitalism, I think at this point is necessary. It is a religion to people, and it is a fundamentalist religion, and people are dying as a result of it all the time.
Is there a special
Savitri, hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is there a special place in hell for shoppers?
Praise Halliburton.
What's it called? What's it called? What's the famous mall here?
The Galleria.
The Galleria is the hell. And they are there now. Amen. But they can be pulled. You know, we're all sinners. We found a Starbucks cup in your garbage can over here.
There's
somebody in the station has bought a $4 latte. We're all sinners. And in the Galleria, there are people that have been there for years now that have never left. And they have a mall tan. And they have mall sex. And, you know, did you know that malls have jails? They have their own detention centers. I've been in
them. Have you been in them yet?
They're painted yellow. They're very pleasant.
They're a lot like bathrooms, actually.
No.
Yeah, they are. They're a lot like bathrooms.
Amen. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion.
Free people.
Free the people.
Free speech.
Free press. we're developing a new gospel song with the Church of Stop Shopping. Can we have another song? Can we have? Can we we have the Stop Shopping song? Would that be all right with you?
Yes.
I just want to say one thing, though. Hallelujah. If you have some music out there in the church,
heaven is on earth.
Give us a change-a-looia out there.
Heaven is on earth.
Give us a peace-a-looia.
Heaven is not shopping. Stop your shopping.
We want to be with Scott there at the Halliburton. When is Scott going to be at the Halliburton? When's the next Halliburton? Do we have a Halliburton?
Today is the first day of Halliburton Awareness Month, October 1st.
Amen.
Important
work. What's Scott's last name?
Parkin.
Thank you. Yeah. Parker?
Parkin. Yeah, there he is right now.
Scott.
Hallelujah.
We're
welcome
just singing your praises in here, Scott.
Welcome to church,
Amen.
Scott.
Are we going to go to that other track now, or should I...
We have a wonderful Stop Shopping song. I want to put out some credits to our wonderful Stop Shopping Gospel Choir. Is it starting to play?
You'll hear it when it comes.
It'll come up. We have about 25 of us, and we have our church services, and hallelujah! Here it comes.
Our regular congregation in New York City, Sister Laura Newman.
Oh, I want to hear that myself. This is for me. I want to have the volume up. Yeah, amen. Can I have some volume here? Oh, I have to do it. I have to turn it up. Well, thank you. Oh, yeah. Children. Amen. Yeah. Change-a-lujah. Oh, we will never shop again, will we, brothers and sisters? Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sing it now. Brother Michael, help us out. Can I hear some change-a-lujahs back in radio land? Please. Hallelujah. Sing it now. Hallelujah. Amen. No more $4 lattes. Oh, yeah. We're going to stop shouting. All right, here we go. Oh, my God. They're all over Houston.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Amen.
Those weapons. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Come on now. Get ready. Never shop again. Broadway.
You set me free.
But I'm not going to Tuscaloosa.
I'm
not going to Jacksonville. I'm not going to the Galleria. I'm running out in the fields of Texas.
Come on,
I'm not going to an oil well. I'm feeling the spirit coming into me here today.
All right.
Damn it, I'm a little anarcho-radical. Damn, what happened to me?
Man, that was amazing.
A real Texan now. I just gone through the change.
Turn that fan on.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, please be. You know, Reverend, we've got a lot of evil right here in Houston. We've got Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown and Root, Exxon, Enron, capital punishment, children being shot by police. We've got James Baker. And you know, I'm wondering
Jimmy,
if you have.
Pray with me, Jimmy. Let's get out on our knees.
We need you to inspire them. We need you to help their weary souls to join the crusade to bring light to this dark place in Houston. What can you tell them to escape this dilemma of America?
Teach us.
Killing for freedom, shopping for democracy. Let's have a little self-help up there for the listeners.
Teach us, Reverend.
I just want to ask our parishioners.
Well,
just come on over to the radio now. Mm-hmm. Come on over to that little trembling piece of plastic.
That's right.
Put your hand right on the speaker.
Okay.
Hallelujah. Mm. We're going to ask the God that is not a product. We're going to call out and ask for the blessing from the God, Goddess, Animal, Vegetable, Mystery thing.
All right. Ooh.
Hallelujah. The real God, Goddess, amen. We feel you in our little escapading bodies down here. We want to thank you for giving us, for loaning us these healthy little sexed up, breathing, lovely bodies. We know that we have a responsibility with this amazing life that you've loaned us. We have a responsibility to be radically free and infinitely responsible. When I see that Starbucks latte steaming in front of me, give me the imagination, give us all the vision to see the impoverished coffee workers in Guatemala right there. It's like a movie. It's the major feature film right there in the foam at the top of that cup. Give us the bravery and the originality to do the right thing. Withdraw our hand from that product. Give us the courage to do the thing that feels so counterintuitive as Texan Americans. May we back away from the product and back up the aisle, right out the door, out across the pavement, into that new gift economy, that barter economy, that exchange that is human, that other economy that we have to create ourselves, that will leave us free of this burden that we feel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The burden of killing innocent children because of our economy. The burden of poisoning the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The burden of how we have a sort of hate that we develop out of fear and out of the regimentation of product life.
Mm-hmm.
Keep us free.
Mm.
Radically free.
Free, all right.
And infinitely responsible. Amen.
Hallelujah, Reverend.
Change-a-luya.
Change-a-luya.
Peace-a-luya. Amen. Praise be. Hallelujah.
I know we got some calls here about our music. That's the Stop Shopping Gospel Choir. That's some tracks we just laid down. We're mixing them this week. So if you're interested in that CD, just go to our website. There's news about that. That's www.revbilly.com. You can follow our movements there. And we'd love to hear from you, too. We have a kind of community board there. We love to hear talk from all over the country. It helps us in our work where we are. And we hope we can be of some help to you with our site.
Amen, Sister Savitri.
Do you want to tell us in our last few minutes, or tell me about your vision of a healthy America? What does America look like in the good vision, your vision?
Well, I often approach in a real basic way, because I know that we've gotten into trouble in the past with utopian political visions, you know, and we've gotten into trouble, and if we win, then we get arrogant and we start killing people and we start imitating the people we overthrew. So I back away from ideologies just a little bit that way. But I do see breaking up the big box stores. I do see breaking up the pavement, letting the earth breathe and come through. I see that when we start connecting with each other as people, when we live in an environment that keeps us separate from each other, basically we're isolated. There's a kind of loneliness from being enveloped in media and products and highways and cars. There's a way that we become broken up into little groups of the saved. You know, we save ourselves with our friends and lovers, but we're constantly pounded by this alien economy that tries to keep us alone. I look for ways that people join each other. So I love the new communities that are being created that are unsanctioned completely, and we've seen it happen with alternative gender identity seizures. Tremendous communities that are basically secret; they're off the map. But among us who are connecting with each other, they made it matter so much.
A healthy America is a healthy neighborhood. It's really that simple. It's what's right around you. I know there are a lot of people who don't agree with the notion of incremental change, but actually, it's true. If all of us invested in our neighborhoods and really spent time in our neighborhoods, making them neighborhoods, talking to the people who are around us, making eye contact with the people we buy things from. If our exchanges with strangers weren't just at a cash register, those things go a long way towards building a positive world. I think you can't underestimate the value of just saying hello to a stranger in your neighborhood, making them not a stranger.
Amen.
Finding out you have a lot in common.
That's one of the things Samuel Delaney said in Times Square Red, Times Square Blue, is building neighborhoods by really rudimentary conversations. It's really scary for some people to break through and talk to somebody they may have seen. What Samuel said is, if you see somebody in your neighborhood three times, then you have the responsibility to stop and say something about your life to that person.
So take the pledge. The third time you see that face, say hello.
And don't be so politically naive to think that it doesn't matter when a transnational chain store comes into your neighborhood and boots out a favorite diner or a favorite community hub. If they come in and they say, we're the, you know, Starbucks actually has posters now. I like to think it has something to do with our work, Sister Savitri. They have posters now. They'll come in and you know, give the landlord five times what the resident diner could have given that landlord. Mm-hmm. And then they'll bust the landlord out. The landlord will disinvite the native tenant that built the neighborhood. In comes Starbucks, which looks like every other Starbucks. It's not a neighborhood at all. And then in the front window, they'll put this poster that says "Create Community," and they'll have a little drawing of what they destroyed. Mm-hmm. So they have some chutzpah.
So they
don't
pay
go
people.
For that. Don't
they
go for
pay people
that.
To go out in there. They pay people to go out and pick up the Starbucks trash, you know, and they make that seem like community service.
Wow.
And then they have an Earth Day every year in New York. They're the biggest generator of trash in New York, and they have an Earth Day.
Right.
They imitate the 60s all the time.
We saw a big ad in the Houston Chronicle yesterday that said that tomorrow, Saturday, is community shopping day at the Galleria.
Ah!
So if you're like,
hallelujah.
Get behind me.
Let's go. We've climbed the hill. It's hard work. I see the Galleria in the valley beyond. Amen.
We can do it. Could you just tell us really quick, we just have a minute left. We've talked a lot about these retail interventions, First Amendment mob and stuff. What's different about what you're going to do at the Unitarian Church versus like what you would do in a retail sort of situation? Like, what's the show going to be like or at the Unitarian Church? What can people expect if they come out?
We like to make something happen in the room. We like to do something together. We like to arrive somewhere together. Our version of a successful show is when everyone is talking to each other at the end.
Amen.
Oh, that's beautiful. So I want to remind the listeners, we've been talking to Reverend Billy and Sister Savitri from the Church of Stop Shopping, and they are going to be performing tonight at the First Unitarian Church.
See
at 8
at
p.m. That's located at 5200 Fannin Street in Houston, Texas. If you need more information, you can call 526-5200. And tomorrow, I think there's one spot open for some lucky person to engage in a workshop with the Reverend Billy and Sister Savitri. And this is co-sponsored by the Aurora Picture Show in Lawndale Arts Center. If you want to participate in this tomorrow at 11 p.m., you can call 713-868-2101. Oh, sorry, 11 a.m. 713-868-2101. Probably one lucky person left. Also, there's a great book out, What I Should Do If Reverend Billy Is in My Store, and you can check that out at RevBilly.org, right?
Dot com, yeah. RevBilly.com.
I suppose we should be org.
Too late.
Too late, yeah. Well, somebody else got it.
We've been so blessed to have you on the show and sending your lovely thoughts and inspiration and hope out the airwaves to the listening audience, and I hope people come out tonight. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Sister Tish. So what a wonderful radio station you have here. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael.
Thank you. That was Reverend Billy, Sister Savitri, and Tish.